It's John 1:1-14. It's probably one of my favourite Christmas Day passages, if not in the whole Bible. And I'm a bit slow on the uptake, but I remember my wow moment when God opened my eyes. The fact, every time it says word, it means Jesus. I just went, wow. So sorry if I was stealing your thunder, Pete, but and then to realize that this was written by one of his closest friends and disciples. And I was like, wow. So John 1:1-14, I pray God's Spirit will speak powerfully to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Right. Well, a good morning from me as well, and thank you very much for the reading, Andy. And don't worry, you've not given any spoilers away. It's all right. So, on a slightly cold but not too chilly morning like this one, it might be difficult to remember back to the warm month of May at the beginning of the summer. But I bet you can remember this event. Who can remember this event? What's this here? Yes, is it Lucy? It is exactly. It's the king's coronation. Fantastic. Did anyone watch on TV? Hands up if you watched on TV. That's quite a lot of people, hands down. Did anyone go in person? No one here went in person. Well, I don't blame you, because there were a lot of people there. But we love spectacles like this, with the gold carriages, the famous people, and all the pomp and majesty. Something in us is drawn to majestic occasions like this. We long to see and experience events of significance and worth. We're naturally hungry for this kind of glory. We're attracted to glory. But worldly events like this one do not show us true glory. That can only be seen in Jesus. So we're going to be focusing on verse 14 of our passage this morning, which will be on the screen. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is not the fading glory of the world, but the true glory belonging only to God himself. This is our first point this morning. See Jesus' glory and believe in him. This is the miracle of Christmas. The Word, which John says in verse 1, is God himself, became a human baby and lived among us. All of God's glory, grace, and truth was evident in the person of Jesus Christ. But what is God's glory? After all, Jesus was not born in a palace. There were no royal robes, no gold carriages at his birth. Well, we see God's glory in lots of different ways in the Bible. When God rescued the people of Israel from Egypt, God's glory was present in the cloud that led them by day and the pillar of fire that led them by night. When Moses met with God, Moses had to hide in a cleft in the rock because God's glory was so overwhelming. And verse 14 from this chapter of John's Gospel says that we can see God's amazing glory. Moses couldn't look on God and live, but in Jesus, God comes to us in a way that we can see him and know him without being consumed by his glory. John goes on in his gospel to describe Jesus' miracles as making Jesus' glory known. And as the gospel account progresses, Jesus himself makes it clear that the true moment of his glory, the moment when his glory would be revealed most fully and most radiantly, would be when he died on the cross. In John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He was talking about going to die. So as our first point today is to see Jesus' glory and believe in him, but it was on the cross, on the place of torment, where God's name would be revealed as glorious, lifted up and exalted as Jesus died for sinners like us. This is why Jesus came and was born as a baby all those years ago. And what does this say about our glorious God? His glory is to die for us, rebellious, lost, and hopeless creatures. His radiant glory is revealed as he gives his one and only Son for you and me. Now, perhaps you're visiting today, or perhaps you've been coming here for years. Well, not here, but this church family. Maybe you even grew up in this church. Maybe this is your first time in church ever. Or maybe it's your 5,000th time in church. But I want to ask you today, do you know God? Do you know God? Has seeing Jesus' glory transformed your life? If you do not yet know Jesus, then the good news from John today is that you can. Whether you're 7 or 70 or any age, you can believe in Jesus. Look at John 1, verse 12. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So believe in Jesus and become a child of God. We're not God's children automatically. The Bible says here that to all who did receive him, to those who believed in Jesus' name, God gave the right to become his children. So accept Jesus' death for yourself and receive his love and mercy. Reflect on this, and perhaps you'll want to join in prayer at the end. But maybe you're wondering why all this is important. What's the point of being a Christian? Or Maybe you've been a Christian for years, but you've forgotten your first love, as John will later rebuke the Christians in Ephesus. So this brings us to our second point this morning. Adore Jesus and give him glory. It's God's glory that gives our lives meaning, true meaning. The first question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? With the answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. This is our purpose as human beings, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We can think of enjoying God as adoring him, both for who he is and what he's done for us. We used these words in our prayers earlier, and we sung the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. And in the chorus, we sang something over and over again. What was it we were singing over and over again? Anyone remind me? Who can remember? Come on, kids. Otherwise, I'll have to ask Sue. And she's had enough chocolate already this morning. What did we sing in O Come All Ye Faithful? Daniel? Perfect. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We adore Jesus by accepting that he died for us. We adore Jesus as we thank him in prayer and praise him in song. We adore him as we obey him. And we adore him when we turn to him in fear, pain, or sorrow. We adore Jesus when life is going well and we worship him in joy. And we adore Jesus when life is tough and we turn to him and lament. We glorify God when we realize that only in him can we find true satisfaction and meaning. Now, I mentioned the coronation at the start of the sermon as an event that we love because of the glory. You can think also maybe of pop concerts or sports matches or firework displays. We love these events and we're drawn to them as we support our favourite team or celebrity. And there's nothing intrinsically wrong with sports events or pop concerts, but they can never give us complete joy or satisfaction. That's because we were created to glorify God. And we can give thanks to God for any glorious event, such as a sports match, pop concert, or fireworks play. And in doing so, our minds will be drawn to give God the glory. We live in and enjoy God's amazing creation, so we can give him glory for that. He's given us eyes and ears to enjoy and experience super events. He's given us the ability to love and to have friends and families. But better than all these things, he's given us his Son, his only Son, to be our Lord and Saviour. So, this Christmas Day, as we celebrate Jesus' birth, we come face to face with God made man, Emmanuel, the Son of God, who showed us his glory when he sacrificed his life for us. This is the glory of our Lord and Saviour. Repent and believe in him. Become a child of God and find true fulfillment in glorifying and adoring Christ forever. So come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus to show us your glory by dying for us on the cross. Please help us to believe in him and to enjoy and adore him all our lives. Amen.